Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Revenge Wife, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Awakening. I used to believe in love. The kind of love that movies and fairy tales promised, the kind where a woman gives her heart, her body, her soul to a man, and in return he cherishes her, protects her, honors her. For years, I played the perfect wife. I woke up before Thomas every morning, slipping quietly from our bed to make sure his coffee was brewed exactly the way he liked it. Black, no sugar, strong enough to keep him wired through his long workdays. I'd press his suit, lay out his tie, and kiss his cheek before he left, always pretending not to notice when his gaze lingered just a little too long on his phone before he slipped it into his pocket. I made excuses for him. For the late nights, the forgotten anniversaries, the cold way he touched me when he did bother to come home. I told myself he was tired, stressed, that work was demanding, and that our marriage was just going through a rough patch. That's what good wives did, right? They endured. They stayed loyal. But love, real, lasting love, isn't built on endurance. It's built on respect. And Thomas never respected me. I just didn't know how deep his betrayal ran. Not until the night I found the videos. It happened by accident, really. I was looking for our travel documents in his office drawer, his passport, my birth certificate, all the things we'd stored away after our last vacation. A long overdue getaway to the Maldives that, in hindsight, had felt more like a funeral than a romantic retreat. Thomas had barely touched me the entire trip. He was distracted, constantly on his phone, always finding reasons to disappear for long walks along the resort's private beach, leaving me alone in the room with my thoughts. I should have known then. But when I found the folder, so carelessly labeled work trips, on his external hard drive, my world cracked open like a rotten fruit, spilling its filth onto my hands. I almost didn't click on it. A part of me didn't want to know. But curiosity is a cruel thing, isn't it? The moment I opened the folder, I knew my marriage was over. There were dozens of them. Video files with names that made my stomach churn. Hotel Suite, 2022. After conference cocktails. Blonde assistant in red dress. My fingers trembled as I clicked the first file. And there he was. My husband of 10 years, the man I had given my youth, my body, my trust, thrusting into a woman whose name I would never know, his hands fisted in her hair as she moaned his name like a prayer. I watched in stunned silence as he gripped her throat, as he whispered things into her ear that he had never once whispered to me. I watched as he fucked her in ways he had long since stopped fucking me. And then I clicked on another. And another. It wasn't just one woman. It wasn't just one affair. It was a lifestyle. My breathing turned shallow. My chest ached with a pain I had never known before. I had been so stupid. I had been loyal to a man who never deserved it. For the first few minutes, I couldn't move. I sat frozen in his office chair, the dim glow of the screen burning into my retinas, watching as my husband, my fucking husband, became a stranger before my eyes. And then something inside me snapped. The old Lydia, the wife who made excuses, who turned a blind eye, who believed in love, died right there in that chair. What rose in her place was something new, something dark. Revenge wasn't just a possibility. It was a necessity. I closed the files, breathing slowly, methodically, as my mind started piecing together the puzzle of what I needed to do next. I could confront him, throw the hard drive in his face, scream, demand answers. But what would that change? He'd lie. He'd make excuses. He'd twist it around and somehow make me the villain. No. Confrontation was a fool's game. I needed something better. I needed to destroy him. And I wouldn't just destroy him. I would make him suffer in a way he never saw coming. Because if he thought he could fuck around behind my back and get away with it, then he had no idea who he married. Chapter 2, Setting the Trap. Revenge isn't just about payback, it's about control. It's about stripping a man of everything he thought made him powerful, making him feel small, insignificant. It's about taking everything he took from me and setting fire to whatever's left. I didn't rush. Revenge done in haste is nothing more than an outburst. Temporary. Hollow. Lashing out in anger would give him the satisfaction of knowing he had gotten under my skin. No, what I needed was precision. A strategy. A game that only I knew the rules to. So I planned. I took my time. And I started with his boss. James Whitmore was the kind of man who thrived on power. 55, married and well-respected in the industry. He had built an empire of wealth and influence, and his wife, Victoria, was more of an accessory than a partner. A woman whose concerns revolved around maintaining the perfect Botox schedule, booking spa retreats, and ensuring their house looked pristine for social events. A man like James needed to own everything in his world. His company, his employees, his reputation. He was sharp, calculating, the type of man who commanded respect just by stepping into a room. And Thomas had spent years sucking up to him, hoping to climb the ranks. It made my next move effortless. It started with a business dinner. Thomas had no idea he was leading me right into my first conquest. I played the dutiful wife that night, dressed in a sleek black dress that hugged my curves, the kind of dress Thomas used to appreciate before he got bored with my body. I let James notice me. Not too much. Just enough to plant the seed. A soft touch on his arm when I laughed at his jokes. Holding eye contact just a second too long. Adjusting my necklace in a way that drew attention to my collarbones, to the slope of my shoulders. He noticed. Of course he did. Men like James were predictable. Powerful, but easy to manipulate when you knew how to play them. By the end of dinner, his hand lingered just a little too long when he shook mine goodbye. His eyes told me everything I needed to know. And that was the beginning. I didn't make it obvious. I let him chase me. A few weeks later, I ran into him at the club where all the executives played golf. A coincidental encounter. At least, that's what I let him believe. I acted surprised to see him, letting my face light up in that soft, innocent way men find irresistible. "You come here often?" I asked, my voice smooth, teasing. James smirked. "Only when I need a break from the wife's social calendar." "And you?" I laughed, tucking a strand of hair behind my ear. "Oh, I just needed an escape. Thomas has been so busy with work lately." A lie. But men like James didn't question lies if they fed into their own ego. One drink turned into two. Two turned into dinner at a secluded, dimly lit restaurant. I let him lead the conversation, let him talk about his frustrations with his marriage, how Victoria had lost interest in him, how he missed the thrill of something new. I touched his arm, tilted my head, listened with intent. And then I hit him with the kill shot. "You deserve to feel wanted, James." A man like him couldn't resist that. By the time we left, his hand was on the small of my back, guiding me, claiming me. I let him believe he was in control. That was the trick, letting a man think he was the hunter when, in reality, he was already caught in the web. The first time we fucked, it was in his office. The door locked, the blinds drawn, his hands rough against my skin as he pressed me against his desk. I played the part beautifully, moaning his name, gasping as if he was the most powerful man I'd ever been with. I made him believe he was special, that he was different from the man I had at home. But the real power? The camera. Hidden in plain sight, recording every second. The way he groaned my name, the way his hands gripped my thighs, the way his wedding ring flashed under the dim light as he betrayed his wife over and over again. When it was over, he collapsed into his chair, breathless, undone. I stood, adjusting my dress, smoothing my hair, watching as he ran a hand through his graying hair, already drowning in guilt. "I shouldn't have done that," he muttered, shaking his head. I leaned in, pressing a kiss to his ear. "But we're going to do it again." He exhaled sharply. And I walked away, leaving him desperate for more. Over the next few weeks, I strung him along like a puppet on a string. Sometimes I'd call him late at night, whispering things that left him restless in bed beside his wife. Sometimes I'd ignore his messages, letting his frustration build. I made sure he wanted me so badly it drove him mad. And each time we met, the camera was rolling. Each angle perfect. Each encounter captured. It wasn't just revenge. It was art. And Thomas had no idea his world was already starting to crumble. Chapter 3, Blood Ties. There's something uniquely vicious about betraying someone with their own flesh and blood. It's not just about the sex, the moans, the gasping confessions in the dark. It's about legacy, about taking something sacred and corrupting it beyond repair. And that's exactly what I planned to do with Jason, Thomas's younger brother. The golden child. The one their mother always praised. The one with the charming smile and the boyish innocence that made women melt. He was 10 years younger than Thomas, But where Thomas was cold, rigid, and calculating, Jason was warm, impulsive human. He had always been different from his brother, kinder, softer, the type of man who still believed in love. He was also the type of man who couldn't see a drowning woman without trying to save her. And that's why he was perfect. It started with a phone call. Late at night, my voice trembling just enough to sound real. "Jason," I whispered, sniffling for effect. "I'm sorry to call you so late, but I don't know who else to talk to." A pause. Then his voice, groggy but alert. "Lydia? What's wrong?" I exhaled shakily, letting silence fill the space between us. Then, softly, brokenly, I whispered, "It's Thomas." That was all I had to say. Jason had always been protective of me. Even when we were younger, before I ever married his brother, he had been the one to offer me his jacket when I was cold, the one who noticed when I was sad. He was the type of man who saw pain and wanted to fix it. And right now I needed him to believe I was broken. "Are you okay?" he asked, his voice sharper now. I took a deep, uneven breath. "I don't want to talk about it over the phone. Can I come over?" "Of course. I'll be up. Hook. Line. Sinker." When I arrived, Jason was waiting for me at the door, dressed in sweatpants and a fitted t-shirt that hugged his lean, athletic frame. His dark brown hair was tousled, his eyes heavy with sleep, but still filled with concern. "Come in," he said, stepping aside. I walked past him, inhaling the scent of fresh linen and cedarwood. His apartment was different from Thomas's world, smaller, cozier, less polished. There were photos on the walls of friends, of family, of childhood memories frozen in time. A stark contrast to the museum-like coldness of the home I shared with his brother. "Do you want something to drink?" he offered. I shook my head, sitting on the couch and curling my legs beneath me. "No, I just needed to get out of there." He sat beside me, his eyes scanning my face. "What happened?" I hesitated, biting my lip. The trick to a good lie wasn't in the words. It was in the hesitation, the slight quiver in the voice, the way the body curled inward, as if trying to protect itself. And I played my part flawlessly. "I found out he's cheating," I said softly, dropping my gaze. "Multiple times. Different women." Jason stiffened. "Are you sure?" I nodded. "I found the videos." His jaw clenched, his hands curling into fists. Jason had always idolized Thomas, but he had also trusted him. And now, I was shattering that trust piece by piece. "I should have seen it," I whispered, my voice trembling. "I should have known. But I was so stupid, Jason. I kept making excuses, kept believing he loved me." I laughed bitterly, shaking my head. "God, I feel like such an idiot." Jason reached for my hand, his grip warm and firm. "You're not an idiot, Lydia. He's the idiot. He had everything, and he threw it away." I swallowed hard, letting my eyes glisten with unshed tears. "It just hurts. Knowing I wasn't enough for him. Knowing he..." My voice broke, and I turned my head as if embarrassed. Jason's fingers tightened around mine. "Hey," he said softly, shifting closer. "Don't do that. Don't blame yourself for his choices." I looked up at him then, letting my eyes search his face, letting the silence between us grow thick and heavy. And then I whispered, "Why couldn't he be more like you?" His breath hitched. And there it was, the hesitation, the internal battle waging behind his eyes. I leaned in slightly, just enough for my lips to part, just enough for him to think about closing the distance. But I didn't kiss him. No, I made him do it. The first kiss was hesitant, almost unsure. A slow, lingering brush of lips that sent heat rushing through my veins. Jason pulled back slightly, shaking his head. "Lydia, we shouldn't." I placed a finger over his lips, silencing him. "Don't think," I whispered. "Just feel." And this time, when I kissed him, he didn't hesitate. It wasn't gentle anymore. It was raw, desperate, a collision of tongues and hands and heat. His fingers tangled in my hair, his body pressing into mine, the weight of his hesitation collapsing under the force of his need. I let him take me there on the couch, slow at first, then rougher as his control unraveled. I made sure to moan his name, to arch into him, to need him in a way that made him believe he was saving me. And when it was over, when he lay beside me with his arm draped over my waist, his breathing still uneven, I turned to him and whispered, "Promise me you won't tell Thomas." His jaw tightened. "I won't. But," he hesitated, "I don't want this to be a mistake, Lydia." I reached up, cupping his face. "It's not." Lies tasted so sweet when whispered in the dark. The next morning, I woke up before him, slipping from the bed and finding his phone on the nightstand. I knew his passcode, and I knew exactly what to do. It took less than 30 seconds to send the text. "She tastes like heaven, bro. I get why you couldn't keep your hands off other women. Too much of a good thing can be dangerous. Then I deleted the message from Jason's sent folder and slid the phone back in place. By the time Jason woke up, I was dressed, sitting at the edge of the bed, running my fingers through his hair. "I should go," I murmured, pressing a soft kiss to his forehead. "Stay," he said sleepily, reaching for me. I smiled, running my hand down his chest. "I can't. But last night was..." I let my voice trail off, my smile turning wistful. "Perfect," he grinned, pulling me back down for another kiss. By the time I walked out of his apartment, my heart was pounding. Not with guilt, with anticipation. Because at this very moment, Thomas was waking up to that text. And I could already picture the rage twisting his face, the disbelief flooding his veins. He wouldn't react right away. No, he would stew. He would let it simmer, let the anger grow, let the thought of his own brother defiling what he thought was his drive him to madness. And me, I would be waiting, because this was only the beginning. Chapter 4, Friends Like These. There's something truly perverse about betraying someone with their best friend. It's not just sex, it's psychological warfare. It's the destruction of trust, the unraveling of the deepest bonds, the slow, poisonous realization that nothing in your life is sacred anymore. And that's exactly why Daniel was next. If Jason was the golden child, the brother Thomas always envied, Daniel was the shadow at his side. His most trusted friend. His drinking buddy. The one who had seen him at his best and at his worst. The one who stood beside him through every major event in his life. And unbeknownst to Thomas, the one who had always wanted me. I had seen it for years, the way Daniel's eyes lingered on me just a little too long, the way his jaw clenched whenever Thomas spoke to me in that dismissive, arrogant tone. He loved me in his own quiet way. And that made him dangerous. Because love and guilt are two sides of the same coin. And I was about to flip it. The first step was vulnerability. Men like Daniel, men who were fiercely loyal, needed to believe they were making their own choices. That they weren't betraying their best friend, but rescuing someone who deserved to be saved. So I let him see me hurt. I accidentally ran into him one evening, just outside a bar where I knew he liked to unwind after work. "Lydia," his voice was filled with surprise as he caught my arm. "What are you doing out here?" I swallowed, blinking up at him with watery eyes. I just needed some air." Daniel frowned, his gaze scanning my face. "Are you okay?" I hesitated, biting my lip. Then, as if the words were too painful to say, I looked away. He tensed. "Lydia, tell me what's wrong." I sighed, wrapping my arms around myself. "It's Thomas." That was all I needed to say. Daniel's entire body stiffened. His loyalty to Thomas warred with the protectiveness he felt toward me. And then I whispered, "He's cheating on me." The words were soft, broken, barely audible. But they landed. Daniel sucked in a sharp breath, his hands curling into fists. "That son of a bitch." I shook my head, forcing out a laugh that sounded as fragile as glass. "I should have seen it, you know? All the late nights. The business trips. The way he stopped looking at me like he used to." Daniel didn't say anything. He didn't need to. The storm in his eyes said enough. And then, for the final touch, I whispered, "I just don't want to be alone tonight." His entire body stilled. I saw the battle in his eyes, the war between his loyalty and his desire. And I knew in that moment I had won. We ended up back at his place. Not immediately. No, I let the moment stretch, let the tension build, let him struggle with the weight of his conscience. We sat in his car for a while, the air thick with unspoken words. And then, just as he was about to speak, I reached out and placed my hand over his. "I don't want to talk," I whispered. Daniel exhaled sharply, running a hand through his hair. "Lydia, if we do this..." I silenced him with a kiss. It wasn't soft. It wasn't gentle. It was fire. A collision of lips and teeth and desperate, pent-up frustration. His hands found my waist, gripping me like he had been waiting for this moment. And maybe he had. I moaned into his mouth, pressing myself against him, letting him feel all of me. "Take me home," I whispered. His knuckles were white against the steering wheel as he drove. The first time he took me, it was on his living room couch, rough and urgent, his mouth hot against my skin, his hands pulling me closer, as if he was afraid I would disappear. He was so different from Thomas. Where my husband was controlled, calculated, cold, Daniel was hungry. Passionate. The kind of man who felt every second of the moment. And I let him believe it was real. I moaned his name, gasped as if he was the only man who had ever touched me like this. I arched into him, whispered sweet, filthy nothings in his ear, making sure every second burned into his memory. Because guilt wouldn't come now. No, it would come later, when it was too late to take any of it back. Afterward, we lay tangled together, his fingers tracing lazy circles on my back. He pressed a kiss to my forehead. "Lydia," I hummed softly, tracing my nails down his chest. His voice was hesitant. "Does he know?" I stilled. "What do you mean?" He sighed, shifting beneath me. "Thomas, does he know that you know?" I lifted my head, meeting his gaze. "No." Something flickered in his expression. "So this is?" I leaned in, brushing my lips against his. "This is me moving on." A half-truth. Because I wasn't moving on. I was setting fire to everything. I didn't leave that night. I let him fall asleep first, his arms still wrapped around me, his breathing slow and steady. And then carefully I reached for his phone. I already knew his passcode. Just like Jason's. Just like Thomas's. It took less than a minute to do what I needed to do. A text. Simple. Brutal. I never meant for this to happen, but I can't stop thinking about her. Maybe I never stopped. I sent it. To Thomas. Then I deleted it from Daniel's sent folder and placed the phone back where it was. By the time he woke up, I was dressed, leaning against the doorway, watching him with a soft, sleepy smile. "Morning," I murmured. He stretched, groaning slightly. "Stay for breakfast?" I walked over, pressing a slow, lingering kiss to his lips. "I can't. But last night..." I let my fingers trail down his chest. "Last night was everything." He cupped my face, his expression tender. "Lydia, I meant what I said. I don't want this to be a mistake." I smiled, brushing my thumb over his lips. "It's not," I whispered. "Another lie." And by now, I was getting really good at them. As I stepped out into the crisp morning air, my phone buzzed in my pocket. A message. From Thomas. I didn't even have to read it to know what it said. He was unraveling. The pieces were falling exactly where I wanted them. And soon he'd have nothing left. Chapter 5, The Confrontation. There's a moment before the storm hits. A moment of quiet, of eerie stillness, where the air feels thick with the weight of something inevitable. That was how it felt the night Thomas finally confronted me. I knew it was coming. I had orchestrated every piece of this game with surgical precision. I had infiltrated his world, corrupted everything he held dear, planted the seeds of doubt and rage inside his mind, and let them fester like an untreated wound. First, he discovered the text from Jason. His own brother, bragging about how I tasted, how he finally understood why Thomas had to seek out other women, because I was too much for one man to handle. Then, just as that wound was beginning to fester, I fed him another. The message from Daniel. The best friend he had trusted with everything. The one person he thought would always be loyal. I knew what it did to him, imagining my body under Daniel, imagining whispered confessions, stolen moments. Maybe I never stopped thinking about her. It wasn't just betrayal. It was annihilation. And now he was standing in the doorway of our bedroom, his entire body taut with barely contained fury, his face pale, his hands clenched into fists. I looked up from where I sat at my vanity, calmly brushing my hair. I met his wild, bloodshot eyes in the mirror and arched a brow. "You look like you've seen a ghost." "Lydia." His voice was hoarse, guttural. "What the fuck have you done?" I turned, placing the brush down with a deliberate slowness. "What do you mean?" His entire frame trembled with rage. His breath came short and ragged. My heart pounded in my chest, but I kept my face smooth, my expression unreadable. Because this was the moment I had been waiting for. The moment he realized that his control, the very thing he had wielded over me for years, was gone. "I know," he growled, stepping closer. I tilted my head. "Know what?" His eyes burned with fury. "Jason. Daniel." His nostrils flared. "How fucking dare you?" A slow, satisfied smile curled my lips. I stood, crossing the room until we were only inches apart. I could feel the heat radiating from his body, the barely contained violence thrumming beneath his skin. I trailed a finger down his chest, feeling his heartbeat hammer against my touch. "How does it feel, Thomas?" I whispered. His jaw clenched. "What?" I leaned in, my lips brushing against his ear. "To be powerless." His entire body went rigid. I pulled back, meeting his eyes. "Tell me, my love," I purred, voice dripping with venom. "How does it feel to know that your wife, your property, as you once so eloquently put it, isn't yours anymore?" His hand snapped up so fast I barely had time to react. For a moment, I thought he was going to hit me. And maybe if I were the woman I used to be, I would have flinched. But I didn't. I held my ground, chin tilted up defiantly. Daring him. daring him to show me just how weak he really was. But he didn't strike me. Instead, his fingers wrapped around my throat, not hard enough to hurt, but enough to make his point. Enough to remind me that once, not too long ago, I would have cowered beneath his touch. His grip tightened slightly. "You think you've won?" he breathed, voice laced with venom. I smiled against the pressure of his hand. "Oh, darling," I whispered. "I know I have." His fingers flexed. "You ruined me." I let out a soft, mocking laugh. "No, Thomas." I reached up, prying his hand away from my throat with agonizing slowness. "You ruined yourself." His breathing was erratic now, his entire body trembling. "You let me believe I was crazy," I continued, stepping closer. "You let me cry myself to sleep while you fucked your little whores. You gaslit me, humiliated me, made me feel like nothing." His lips parted, but no words came out. I ran my hands up his chest, feeling the erratic pulse beneath his skin. "But I'm not nothing," I whispered, tilting my head. "Am I, baby?" His eyes darkened. I could see it, the war inside him. The rage. The shame. The desperation. He wanted to hurt me. He wanted to undo everything I had done, to claw back even an ounce of control. But he couldn't, because I had taken everything. And now, I was about to take one last thing. I moved past him, walking to the dresser, where I had left my phone propped up against the lamp. With a slow, deliberate motion, I picked it up, swiped through my files, and pressed play. The sound filled the room instantly. A sharp inhale. A moan. The unmistakable rhythm of flesh against flesh. And then, "Fuck, Lydia," Jason's voice thick with pleasure. Thomas's breath hitched. But that was only the beginning. Another video. This time, Daniel's voice ragged and broken. "You feel so fucking good." I turned back to Thomas, watching the way his face contorted, the way his throat bobbed as he swallowed down the bile rising in his gut. "Stop," he choked out. I tilted my head. "Why?" His nostrils flared. "Turn it off." I smiled and pressed play again. This time, the screen filled with an image. Me, on my knees, mouth stretched around James Whitmore's cock. Thomas staggered back, as if I had physically struck him. His face drained of all color. His breathing turned erratic. And for the first time since this game had begun, I saw fear. Real, unfiltered, primal fear. "You think this is bad?" I murmured, swiping through the videos. "Wait until you see the ones I sent to your boss. To your mother. To every single person who used to respect you." His entire body sagged. His eyes were hollow now, his rage dissolving into something far worse. Defeat. Pure, absolute defeat. I walked toward him, reaching out to cup his face. His skin was clammy beneath my touch, his breathing uneven. I smiled softly. "Good night, Thomas," I whispered. And then I turned, walked to the bedroom door, and left him standing there, watching as his entire world collapsed around him. Because this wasn't just revenge. This was justice. And I wasn't finished yet. Not even close. Chapter 6, The Ultimate Betrayal. There's a particular kind of agony that comes with watching your world burn, and Thomas was drowning in it. I had ripped apart his life, piece by piece, exposing the ugliness he had so carefully hidden beneath his polished exterior. The proud, confident man who once stood over me with arrogance, treating me like a disposable object, was now nothing more than a broken shell. But I wasn't done. Not yet. There was still one final nail to drive into his coffin, one last act of vengeance to ensure he never recovered. It was time for his reckoning, and I was going to make sure he never forgot it. I waited. I let him simmer in his misery for days. Let him sink deeper into the pit I had dug for him, watching as he spiraled, consumed by paranoia and self-loathing. He barely left the house. His work calls went unanswered. The man who used to command respect with a single glance was now a wreck, disheveled, hollow-eyed, barely clinging to the remnants of his shattered pride. And then, when I knew he was at his weakest, I set the final stage. It was late. The house was silent, heavy with an unnatural stillness. Thomas sat in the living room, hunched over on the couch, a half-empty bottle of whiskey on the table in front of him. His tie was loosened, his shirt wrinkled, so unlike the pristine, controlled image he once projected. I stepped into the room, dressed in nothing but a silk robe, letting the fabric slip off one shoulder as I walked toward him. He didn't look up at first. But when he finally did, his bloodshot eyes roamed over me, filled with something dark. Something dangerous. "Lydia," he rasped, his voice raw. I tilted my head, watching him carefully. "You look awful, darling." A bitter laugh escaped his lips. "What did you expect?" I smirked. "I expected you to suffer." His jaw clenched. I moved closer, slowly, deliberately, until I was standing right in front of him. I reached for the bottle of whiskey, taking a slow sip before setting it back down. Then, with excruciating slowness, I slid onto his lap, straddling him. He stiffened beneath me, his breathing shallow, his hands twitching at his sides. I leaned in, my lips grazing his ear. "Tell me, Thomas," I whispered. "How does it feel to be powerless?" His body tensed. My fingers trailed down his chest, unbuttoning his shirt one by one. His breath hitched. "You hate me," I murmured, pressing my lips to his throat. "Don't you?" Silence. I pulled back, meeting his eyes. "Say it." His nostrils flared, his hands gripping the couch. "I hate you." I smiled. "Good." And then I kissed him. It wasn't soft. It wasn't loving. It was a battle, a violent collision of tongues and teeth, a war between what he wanted and what he despised. His hands finally snapped up, gripping my hips, pulling me against him with a desperation that bordered on madness. But just as quickly as I kissed him, I pulled away, leaving him breathless. And then, with the cruelest smile, I whispered, "Watch closely, my love." His brows furrowed. "What?" I stood, walking over to the doorway. And just as I did, the other man entered the room. Tall, muscular, beautiful. Someone Thomas didn't know. Someone I chose specifically for this moment. Thomas's confusion morphed into something ugly, something deadly, as the realization crashed down on him. "No," he breathed, shaking his head. But I just smiled, stepping forward and running my hand down the stranger's chest. "Lydia," Thomas's voice was strangled. "Don't." I ignored him. Instead, I let the robe slip from my shoulders, pooling at my feet. The stranger wrapped an arm around my waist, pulling me against him. Thomas shot to his feet, fists clenched, shaking with fury. "Lydia, I swear to God." I looked at him, unbothered. "Unmoved." "You don't get to swear to God," I murmured. "Not after what you did." His breathing was ragged, his body trembling with rage. "You whore," he spat. I smirked. "That's funny. You didn't call me that when I was crying myself to sleep, begging for your attention." The stranger's hands roamed my body, slow, teasing, and I tilted my head back, sighing. Thomas snapped. He lunged forward, but I was faster. I stepped back, lifting my hand, and in it, the small remote I had hidden in my palm. His eyes flickered to the camera in the corner of the room. And then, realization. True unfiltered terror. "Smile for the camera, baby," I purred. His face drained of all color. Because he knew. He knew what this was. What it meant. I had recorded every one of his affairs, every betrayal, every disgusting moment he thought he had hidden from me. And now. Now he was going to watch me destroy him. The stranger was rough. Possessive. He fucked me like he owned me, like I was a prize to be claimed, and I made sure to perform. I moaned. I screamed. I let him take me in ways I never let Thomas. And all the while my husband sat there, paralyzed. Unable to move. Forced to watch. Forced to listen. Forced to feel. By the time it was over, he was shaking. Silent. Broken. And I was free. I stood, wrapping the robe back around my body, and stepped toward him. His eyes were hollow now. Empty. I reached out, cupping his face. His skin was clammy beneath my touch, his breathing uneven. I smiled softly. "You never deserved me," I whispered. His lips parted, but no words came out. I leaned in, pressing a final kiss to his forehead. "Goodbye, Thomas." Then I turned, walking away, stepping over the wreckage of the man who had once held all the power. And as I left, I heard it. The sound of something breaking. Not glass. Not furniture. But him. Chapter 7, The Grand Finale. The night I left Thomas, I didn't just walk out of his house. I walked out of his life. But not before ensuring he would never recover from what I had done. I had planned this moment down to the smallest detail. Every move, every step, every decision had been carefully constructed, orchestrated like a symphony of destruction. This wasn't just revenge, it was the final, brutal obliteration of everything Thomas thought he was. And as I stood there, watching him crumble, I felt something deep inside me shift. I wasn't the same woman who had spent years crying herself to sleep. I wasn't the woman who had begged for scraps of affection from a man who barely saw her. I had become something else. Something unbreakable. Something lethal. I took my time packing my bags. I wasn't in a hurry, and I wanted him to feel every second of it. The sound of the zipper closing, the weight of each item being removed from his life, the slow, methodical erasure of my existence from this house. He sat in the chair by the window, still shirtless, still reeling from what he had just witnessed. His face was blank, his hands limp in his lap. He hadn't spoken since I ended our marriage in the most brutal way possible. By letting another man take me in front of him. By making sure he watched every second of it. And now he was nothing but a hollow shell, staring at the floor, drowning in a reality he never thought possible. But it was possible. Because I had made it possible. And now it was time to finish what I started. I zipped up the last suitcase and turned to him, my expression unreadable. "I'll have the divorce papers sent over in the morning," I said coolly. He didn't respond, didn't even look at me. I stepped closer, watching for a flicker of life in his eyes, but there was none. "Nothing to say?" I taunted. "No last words? No grand speech about how I ruined you?" "Still nothing." I tilted my head. "I thought you'd at least try to beg." A muscle twitched in his jaw, but he stayed silent. I let out a soft, cruel laugh. "Pathetic." Slowly, I reached into my purse and pulled out a small USB drive, dangling it between my fingers. His eyes finally lifted, locking onto it. "Ah, there it is. A reaction." I smiled, taking a slow step forward. "You recognize this, don't you?" His throat bobbed as he swallowed, his lips parting slightly, his breath shallow. "You should," I continued. "Because everything is on here." He inhaled sharply, his entire body going rigid. I crouched in front of him, lowering my voice to a whisper. "All of your affairs. Every dirty little secret. Every disgusting thing you thought you buried. It's all right here, Thomas." His hands clenched into fists. I ran a finger along his knee, smirking as he flinched. "And the best part?" I leaned in, my lips barely grazing his ear. "I sent copies to everyone." His breath hitched. "My lawyer," I continued. "Your colleagues, your boss. Oh, and let's not forget your dear mother. She was very interested in seeing what kind of son she raised." His head snapped toward me, his eyes wide with horror. "You!" I pressed a finger to his lips, cutting him off. "Shh." He trembled beneath my touch. "You don't get to talk anymore," I whispered. I stood, tossing the USB drive onto the table beside him. "Keep it. Not that it'll do you any good. The damage is already done." He let out a shaky breath, his hands gripping the arms of the chair so tightly his knuckles turned white. I grabbed my bags, pausing at the doorway to take one last look at the man I had destroyed. He was ruined. Completely and utterly ruined. I smiled. "Goodbye, Thomas." And then I walked away. Not just from him. From everything he had ever meant to me. The hotel I checked into was expensive, luxurious. Exactly the kind of place I knew would make a statement. Because I wasn't running away. I was celebrating. I poured myself a glass of wine, settling onto the plush bed as I scrolled through my phone. The messages had already started flooding in. From Jason. From Daniel. From Thomas's mother. From his boss. Each one more frantic than the last. I sipped my wine, smiling to myself. The world was crumbling around Thomas, and I was sitting here, watching it burn. But there was still one last thing I needed to do. I opened my email, attached the last remaining file, and hit send. To every single employee at Thomas's company. To every single one of his friends. To every single woman he had ever slept with behind my back. I wanted everyone to see him for what he was. And when I was done, I turned off my phone and set it aside. Because I had no more use for it. No more use for him. For the first time in years, I felt free. And it was delicious. Epilogue. 3 weeks later, the news broke. A scandal of massive proportions. High-ranking executive caught in explosive cheating scandal, career destroyed. His company cut ties. His friends abandoned him. His own brother refused to speak to him. And as for Thomas? Well, the last I heard, he was jobless. Alone. Living in the wreckage of the empire he once ruled. And me? I was sitting on a beach in the south of France, sipping champagne, basking in the sunlight of a new life I had built for myself. No regrets. No second thoughts. Just victory. Because in the end, I didn't just get revenge. I won. And Thomas? He would never recover. The end.